For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au. We're going to look at We Are Redeemed from Poverty tonight. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you with open hearts, Lord, ready to receive and to listen to what we are being taught by the Holy Ghost from the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your Word, thy Word, is truth, Lord, and open the hearts of each person here tonight, Lord, and help us to hear with our spiritual ears, Lord, and understand what the Lord is showing us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at We Are Redeemed from Poverty. Let's look at the scriptures, praise God, and see what the Word of God says about it. It's good news. The Bible is showing us that it is good news. So Proverbs 10 verse 15, let's start with that. Proverbs 10 verse 15. The scripture says in Proverbs 10 verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So poverty is not a good thing. Poverty, it certainly isn't God's will for his people to be in poverty, in destitute, being destitute, having profound lack. He doesn't want us to lack any good thing. So the rich man's wealth is his strong city. So there is a certain benefits, even in the natural, of having wealth. The destruction of the poor is their poverty, the Bible says. So let's think about that. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So it's significant. It's significant here. Poverty, the Bible's telling us, poverty causes destruction. Poverty causes destruction. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So if we turn to Psalm 103 and look at verse 4. Psalm 103 and read verse 4. And here the Word of God says, I'm talking about the Lord, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And so God, this is talking about the Lord here. Who? It's talking about the Lord. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And we just read before in Proverbs 10 verse 15 that the destruction of the poor is their poverty. And here we read that the Lord is the one who redeemeth thy life from destruction. So if we can see that the destruction of the poor is their poverty, then he's redeeming our life from destruction, then he's redeemed us from poverty. So he's redeemed our life from destruction, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So he's redeemed us from poverty. Poverty and destruction. He's redeemed us from poverty and destruction. So believe that. Believe that. The scripture's saying that he's redeemed our life from destruction. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So he's redeemed us from destruction. He's redeemed us from poverty. So don't see yourself in poverty. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil, that you are a person in poverty. With the Lord, You are not in poverty. You are not in poverty. You have blessing in your life. You have blessing. And the Lord has said, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and here in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So you see, the Bible speaks about the Lord as the one who meets the needs of his people if we trust him to meet our needs. Trust him to meet our needs and believe that he has redeemed you as his child from destruction. That includes poverty. That includes poverty. Now, the word redeemed, it means buy back. Buy back. Did you know that you were a child of the devil before you were born again? The Bible teaches us that people who aren't born again, their father is the devil. And as people who weren't born again, we were under the curse of the law. We were in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of darkness. But Christ, when he died on the cross, through his death and resurrection, his payment of his blood, the payment of his blood, he has purchased us. He has purchased us. And the payment was his blood. So the word redeem means to buy back. He's bought back you. He's purchased you. He's purchased you. The blood of Christ has purchased us. What from? He's purchased us from sin and death. He's purchased us from being in the curse. He's purchased us from eternal damnation. He's purchased us from having the devil as our spiritual father. He's purchased us from going to hell. So he's purchased us from all these things. He's purchased us so that we are now in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord. And God is our Father. We are now in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. In the kingdom of God, the Lord is our Father. So you can expect him to be a father to you and to meet your needs as even better so than earthly fathers meet the needs of their children. So you can expect him to meet your needs. Expect that. Expect that. Luke 4, verses 17 to 19. Let's turn to Luke 4, verses 17 to 19. The Bible talks about him being a good father. Have a look at Luke 4, verses 17 to 19. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in verse 18. We'll start from verse 17. And there was delivered unto him, that's Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That acceptable year of the Lord is now. Praise God. It is now. The Lord Jesus Christ, he cares about the brokenhearted. He cares about the poor. And he has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And that's what he did here in his earthly ministry. And we have the records of it in the Word of God. And he's charged us to continue on preaching the gospel. You know, the word gospel, it means good news. Good news. So preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. The gospel to the poor. The good news is that you don't have to be poor anymore. Praise God. Because the Lord is your Father and He meets your needs. So believe that. Believe that. If you have a need, you take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Because He is your spiritual, He is your heavenly Father. And rely on Him. He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to rely on Him. Things are different in the kingdom of God than they are in the world system. The kingdom of God, for example, is a kingdom of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. It's a kingdom of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. It's different to the world system of economics. It's a different system. He has laws that are higher than natural laws. Higher than natural laws. So if we think about that, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, praise God. And believe that you are redeemed from destruction and redeemed from poverty. And the gospel to the poor is that you don't have to be poor anymore. Praise God. You are redeemed from poverty and you have a heavenly Father to rely on. A heavenly Father to rely on. So listen to what He's saying to you. Listen to what He's saying to you. Because this is the good news that we're looking at tonight. The good news to the poor. That God loves us and He is willing and able to take care of us. Willing and able to take care of us. Let's have a look at Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, 28, which says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." So the church, that's us, and every single believer, child of God across the planet Earth, comprises the church. He has purchased the church with His own blood. He made the payment of His own blood and purchased the church. Purchased. You are a purchased person. A purchased child of God. So that means that the Lord, having purchased you with so great a price, there are none higher than His blood, think that He won't leave you. He just certainly doesn't want you to be on the bottom of the barrel, scraping, trying to get by, not having your needs met. Why would He do that when He's purchased you with so great a price? Because the Bible speaks about that our cup runneth over in verse 23. Our cup runneth over, not lack. Never does it speak about him keeping His children in lack. He's not keeping His children in lack. So if there's a lack there, let's look and see, what do I have to do so that I'm in agreement with the Word and I'm doing what the Word says? Sometimes we need to make adjustments ourselves and listen to the Holy Ghost. What's He saying to us? We have to listen. We have to come into line ourselves. So we study the Word of God, and as we take it and believe it, then our faith gets built up. Our faith cometh to receive from the Lord. Praise God. So let's have a look at Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. The word says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's talking about us believers. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the word redeemed means buy back. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So he became a curse for us. And everything that's under the curse, he took it on himself on the cross. And part of the curse is poverty and lack. Part of the curse is poverty and lack. They are cursed things. Poverty and lack are cursed things. So, verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham. Now, Abraham was a very rich man, very rich. His blessing was one of prosperity and riches. Prosperity, increase, and riches. So, what does the word say? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Now, we being not of the natural Jewish people, we are the Gentiles, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. But now we are of the family of God and we are spiritually the children of Abraham. We are spiritual Israel. We are spiritually the children of Abraham. The Bible tells us that further down in this chapter, in verse 29, it says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The blessing of Abraham. You receive that by faith. Praise God. Blessing, increase, and prosperity. So you see, the curse that we are redeemed from, it is a curse that robs people of prosperity and increase. It robs people of prosperity and increase. Have a look at Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 18, just so we know here that the curse is one of lack, and poverty and lack are under the curse. Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 18. So we know that what we've been redeemed from. 15 to 18 in Deuteronomy 28 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. So it's talking about the material possessions here and the basket and the store. Today we can think about that, the basket and the storehouse where we keep our finances, for example, the fruit of our labours. So the Bible tells us here that this curse is a curse that affects the basket in the store and the fruit of the body, the fruit of the land, that's talking about produce there, the work, the labour of the hands, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. So material possessions. Material possessions. So all these things. And the Lord was teaching this here to the children of Israel. If they went away from him, so the curse is those outside of being in covenant with the Lord, being with the Lord. So the curse is a curse of lack. It's a curse of lack. But the Bible shows us that the blessing brings prosperity. The blessing, we just read about that before. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing brings prosperity. The blessing is God's blessing upon his people. God's blessing upon his people. Praise God. So he shows us in the earlier in this chapter, Deuteronomy 28. Earlier in Deuteronomy 28, if you read from verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So the one who listens to the Lord, listens and obeys. Listens and obeys. So he says in verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So as the child of God listening to and doing what the Lord says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So he wants us to receive that. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. And verse 8, have a look at this. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So just think about that. God's blessing commanded upon your storehouses, your storehouses, and in all that you set your hand unto. That God's blessing commanded upon you, upon your storehouses, and upon all that you set your hand unto. So he wants us to receive that, that God's blessing has been commanded upon us. Blessed shall be our basket. So the thing that we need for our each day, our basket, we need provisions each day, including financial, material provisions on a daily basis. So just like putting things daily into a basket. And the storehouses where the reserves are kept. Where the reserves are kept in the storehouses. So he's commanded the blessing upon our storehouses and upon all that we set our hand unto, and blessed shall be our basket and our store. So God's blessing, he wants us to receive that, that his blessing is upon our basket and our store. Remember that he's the God of increase. He's the God of increase. So he meets our needs. Have a look at Proverbs 10:22. He wants us to believe that we are blessed people. Proverbs 10:22. And he doesn't just tell us these things because they sound good. He tells us these things because they're true. And if we believe them, they can change our life. Proverbs 10:22. And the word of God says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
Thank you, Lord.
So God's blessing, the Bible tells us clearly, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now the Bible has told us that we are blessed. We are blessed. We have the blessing of Abraham upon us. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. And he's shown us there that he's commanded the blessing upon our storehouses. And blessed shall be our basket and our store. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Because he wants our needs met. He wants us to have our needs met and plus enough to meet the needs of others and sow into the kingdom of God, sow into his work. So it's not to satisfy any selfish desires. It's so that we understand that we have a role to play in financing the kingdom of God. He wants us to be blessed because, of course, he wants his children to have good things, but not just as the person who stores it all up, like that man who said, I will pull down my barns and build greater, so that we're going to hoard everything. We're not going to hoard if we're in line with what God wants, but we act as people who give out. So we get seed put into our hands and we can sow that seed into the kingdom of God, and the harvest, he's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. And of course he wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to be a channel whereby you can use what he's put into your hand to finance the gospel, give to the kingdom of God. Each of us has a role to play in that. Praise God. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. See, God is not against riches. He's not against people being rich. What he is against is that when people are selfish and when the riches have got them. So if a person is lusting after riches, coveting after riches for the wrong reasons, that speaks of things that are wrong in the heart, and that's what God is against. Not the riches themselves, when a person is right with him. Like Solomon was an example. Solomon, when the Lord said to him to ask whatever he wanted, he didn't ask for riches. He asked for a wise and understanding heart to govern the people. And the Lord said, because you have asked this and not riches, I will give you the wise and understanding heart, but I will also give you the riches. And do you know that nobody has ever surpassed Solomon in riches and in glory in terms of an earthly king? So he's not against riches, but he's against the state of the heart lusting after riches. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You know, there's a lot of rich people in the world who would have a lot of sorrow associated with their riches. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. He addeth no sorrow with it. So firstly, he meets us where we're at now. So if we have just that faith to believe that God meets our needs, and I'll do what the Lord has told me to do with the seed that he puts into my hand, just go where you're at now. Go where you're at now. and believe that He wants the best for you, and He wants you to increase at where you are now. So believe that He meets your needs, praise God, in a good way. And He wants you to increase and be blessed. So have a look at Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27, which says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He does not have pleasure in his servants having lack. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. That gives him pleasure, you know, because he's the giver. He's the giver, the greatest giver. And he wants to give good things. The Bible tells us that. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So he's a good giver. He's a good giver. The good things are from him. The good things are from God. And he has pleasure in the prosperity of his people, and he has pleasure in your prosperity. Have a look at Psalm 34. And verse, let's read Psalm 34. Have a look at verse 6. In Psalm 34, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Now the poor man did something that was good here. He cried unto the Lord. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Because the Lord wants him to help him. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So he showed us what we ought to do. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Don't shut him out. Don't put him low down on the list. Go to him first. Go to him first. And if you have a look at verses 9 and 10 here in Psalm 34, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." So he's told us here what his people need to do. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear him. Fear the Lord. Have that reverential fear and respect of God. So fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Because the person who fears God is placing him at the top. Praise God. There is no want. That's a promise there. There is no want. That means that you'll not be left wanting. There is no want to them that fear him. And the Bible shows in verse 10 that they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So what ought we to do? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Ask him, what do you want me to do? I seek your face. Seek the Lord and fear him. Cry unto him. Praise God. So he wants us to seek the Lord, and he says that too in Matthew 6. If you turn to Matthew 6, and we'll finish here. Matthew 6, 28 to 34. He wants us to be encouraged. Matthew 6, 28 to 34. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And why take ye thought for raiment? Raiment is clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he's saying to us here that this is what we ought to be doing as Christians. In verse 38, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first. If you've got a need, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord and you ask him, what should I do? What should I do? So put it to the Lord. Ask of him. Ask of him. When he says not to take thought about these things, he's saying to us, don't you meditate about it in a worried way. You take it to the Lord. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God knows you have all need of all these things. If you've got a need, you can go and ask him for what you need. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So you go and ask the Lord. Seek his face. And ask him, what should I do? Ask him for his help. So he will help. So he doesn't want us to take thought. He doesn't want us to be meditating in a worried way. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. So it's more profitable to us to go to the Word of God and start to read the Scripture and get before the Lord in prayer, so that we're doing things that are pleasing to the Lord, seeking his help and his word. And that's the best thing we can do. It encourages us, it helps us, because the Lord knows that we have need of all these things. So if we go to the Scriptures and encourage ourselves, it builds up our faith. And he shows us, he teaches us how to profit. The Lord teaches us how to profit. Praise God. Praise God. So we are redeemed from poverty, and he wants us to know that. We are redeemed from poverty. Praise God. And as people who are in the kingdom of God, God's children, we are blessed. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We look to you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for your blessing. We are blessed people. We are blessed people. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us how to profit. You show us how to be sowers, how to be givers.
Yes.
How to be people who walk in obedience to the Scripture. Teach us, Lord. Help us. We ask you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We believe that you meet our needs. We thank you, Lord. We believe the Scriptures. Lord, we thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless each person here, each person in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.